Continuing our reading in the Sri Brahma Sankhita on Roman numeral page 21. A very close attention and a comparative study of all prevailing thoughts and conceptions will relieve and enlighten all. Be he a materialist, a downright atheist, an agnostic, a skeptic, a naturalist, a pantheist, or a panatheist. Busy with their knowledge of three dimensions only by their speculative exertions. This booklet is only the fifth chapter of the hymns of Brahma, which were recorded in 100 chapters. The Supreme Lord Sri Chaitanya picked up this chapter from the temple of Adi Keshava in Turuvatar, a village lying under the government of Travancore, for the assurance of all God-loving and especially Krishna-loving people in this conditioned jurisdiction. This booklet can easily be compared with another book which passes by the name of Srimad Bhagavatam. Though it has got a reference in the pantheon of Puranas, the Bhagavatam corroborates the same idea of this Pancharatra. The devotees should consider that these two books tend to the identical Krishna, who is the fountainhead of all transcendental and mundane entities and has a manifestive exhibition of the plenary variegatedness. Aspersions of calumniation are restricted in the limited world, whereas transcendence cannot admit such angularities, being an angle of 180 degrees or void of any angular discrepancies.
Wow.
Okay, fair enough. Translate for us. Hare Krishna, nice to see you.
Actually, I don't know what the word calumniation means, so we should...
Calumny, is it not part of... Well, okay, let's get it.
Is it not part of what?
Calumny.
But, I mean, I get the sense of this, I think, is that he's talking about that there's no duality in spiritual, you know, in the absolute existence.
Here. And go ahead.
Like when you cast aspersions on someone, you criticize someone. And the aspersions are, well, we should look up aspersions, too, to know the exact... Because he's obviously choosing specific words for specific reasons. Aspersions of calumniation are restricted in the limited world, that is, in the material world, which is the relative world, people criticize and fault find each other, I guess. Whereas transcendence cannot admit such angularities, being an angle of 180 degrees or void of any angular discrepancies.
Does that mean it's above any...
It's beyond duality. I think my understanding is that it's beyond duality, meaning that there's no deviation from that. I guess metaphorically, I'm thinking of 180 degrees as a straight line. So there's no disharmony. You know, whereas when there's an angle, there's a break. I'm speculating.
That makes sense.
Calumniate. To make maliciously false statements about slander, calumnious, containing or implying calumny. Yeah, calumny.
And then what is aspersions?
A calumny is a false statement maliciously made to injure someone.
Calumny.
I've heard the word calumny. Yeah. Yeah. Not
calumny.
Calumny. So calumniation is a form of that word.
Subject of calumny. Yeah. So you know, it's a libel. Accuse someone.
Aspersion. Aspersion. A calumnious report or remark. Slander. So. aspersion is a slander, act of defaming or slandering.
So, people in the
you know, really, it comes from aspirate originally.
And what is that?
Aspirate is to. To make uneven, to roughen.
Okay, interesting. So that goes.
Actually, asperse. No, to asperse. Excuse me. To aspergere, to sprinkle, to strew, asperse.
Like disperse, asperse.
Yeah, asperse. And aspersion, you're like.
Aspirate with an I has to do with breathing.
Right, right, right. Different.
Right. This is like disperse. Or
right,
asperse.
Right, right.
So it should make something rough, which goes along with this idea of that in the spiritual world everything is smooth. There isn't any duality. There's no disharmony.
Perfection, almost.
It's perfection, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Every gait is a dance, and every word is a song. So
yeah, being void of any angular discrepancies. There's no disharmony because everything's. It is centered around Krishna. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Happy Ekadashi. Welcome back, everybody. Good to see you all.
Can you look up, while you're at the dictionary, can you look up what a panentheist is?
Can you?
All of these, you know, naturalism, he's obviously speaking about for specific different doctrines and philosophies that people care about such things actually adhere to. You know.
While we're pausing,
yes.
I was wondering, I had never heard that, I didn't realize that Lord Brahma had previous impressions.
Everyone has previous impressions because we're all eternal and because the sojourn in the material world is actually anadi, it's without beginning. Anadi karma pale. It's beginningless, actually. It's described like that. That's why it's hard for the mind to grasp that we've been in the material world and undergoing the result of our karma since the time immemorial. Anadi, since forever. So, it means that because there's a continuum in every time that we're re-manifest in some conscious state, that there is a remembrance of our previous experience and karma. And Krishna reminds us, you know, sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matak smritir gyanam apohanam cha. He's there, ishvara sarva bhutanam hridi sharajuna tishtati ramayan sarva bhutani yantra rudrani mayaya. Although we're traveling from one station to another according to our desire and our karma, Krishna is with us. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridaya sharajuna tishtati. He stays with us as our friend, and he informs us that, remember, you wanted to be a pig, and now go ahead, here it is. Have at it. And like, and so, you know, he's giving us a remembrance of our past activities. That's where it comes from. And similarly, in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna asks what happens to a transcendentalist when he's not successful, and Krishna says that according to his previous impressions and his previous advancement in his last life, he takes up again exactly where he left off. Even without aspiring for it, he simply remembers where he was in his last life, and that's because Krishna reminds him. So Purva Samskara Samskritaha mentioned in this Brahma Samhita, that Purva Samskar, because of his previous Samskar, what he had done in the past and the impressions that those had made, everything that we do actually has an impression called a vritti. Every impression that we take in forms the sum total of our consciousness, especially Krishna says at the time of death, yang yang vapi smaran bhavam tajat yante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kunteya sadatad bhava bhavita, that whatever you remember at the time of death, according to all the vrittis you've taken in this lifetime, you will attain that form in your next life without fail. Antakali smaran eva smaran antakali Antakali.
When you give up the body.
Antakali.
Right.
It's
8:4, 8:5. Antakali. Smaraneva. Smaramukva kalevaram. Yapriyati samadbhavam. Yati. Yat yat shamsaya. And if you remember. What? I'm sorry? Say it again. Antakali. Chamameva smaran mukva kalevaram. Tis samadbhavam yati nashyatra samshaya. So if one remembers Krishna at the time of death, then he'll attain Krishna. So it's therefore Krishna recommends that you should always think of me. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmara yudyacha mayarpita mano budhir yo mami vaishyatya samshayaha. That you should always practice remembering. He says, therefore, you should, kaleshu, that at all times and all places you should practice remembering me, even while he's telling Arjuna to fight, you should remember me while you're fighting, because this, he had said in the previous verses, whatever you remember at the time of death, that you'll take without fail. And so anyway, Brahma attains his post, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, after performing 100 lifetimes of perfect rules and regulations in the Varnashram. Then one retains, and that's hard, because there's, as we were reading in the 11th canto, Krishna gives the instructions to Uddhava about what is Varnashram, and the very strict rules and regulations of how to follow Varnashram. For instance, the brahmachari wears just a deer skin, and carries a stick, and doesn't ever shave, doesn't cut his nails, doesn't wash his teeth, says no possessions, lives a very austere life. What to speak to vanaprastha? Vanaprastha just lies on the ground with no bedding or anything like that, and also and subjects himself to all kinds of austerities. And anyway, Brahma is someone who has strictly followed the rules and regulations, the Varnashram, for 100 lifetimes. Hare Krishna! Chai! Haribo! Good to see you. Welcome. And so he takes up there and he assumes his post, Purva Samskara Samskritaha, and he remembers, as everyone else does, according to Krishna's arrangement. It's like you remembered from your past life, taking up why you were born in a devotee family. And Krishna caused you to remember where you were in your last life. Your uncle, your brother, everyone in your family is already around you performing devotional service when you're born. That's due to purva samskar, means previous samskars that you performed. So Krishna puts you in that arrangement. And someone else, they're born on some side of the world where there's very little exposure to devotional service. So that's purva samskar. Yes,
please. Thank you.
True question. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in so many places, like you're talking about the 11th canto and the 5th canto, and different places where Varnashram is being described, as you point out, brahmacharis and vanaprasthas are supposed to wear bark and not cut their hair and not comb their hair and, you know, not wash their teeth. And yet, in ISKCON, Prabhupada didn't want us to do that. He never instructed any sannyasis to have matted hair and beards and things. He had them clean shaven and stuff. So why the discrepancy? Why do we not follow Srimad Bhagavatam in that respect?
Well, first of all, it's Kali Yuga, and second of all, it's the system of austerity that Prabhupada emphasized, and the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized, was chanting the holy names. Specifically, even when Prabhupada did the ceremony in Vrindavan in 1975 to open the temple, there were many. He invited local Brahmins, in fact, paid them to come and perform all these detailed rituals to install the deities Krishna Balaram and Radha Shamasundar and Gornitai. And they went on for days and days and days doing all kinds of things and all these fire yajnas and, you know, chanting of mantras and everything at the right time, place, and circumstance. And then, of course, during the actual installation of the deities when they were doing the Abhishek, all the devotees were there having a huge kirtan. And afterwards, Prabhupada even wrote about this in his books, that the whole part of the ceremony that was actually important was the chanting of the holy names done by the devotees. And that the only reason he had those Brahmins come and chant mantras and do everything else was because of the fact that if he didn't, then the locals who adhere to that type of thing wouldn't accept it as a bona fide installation. However, all that's necessary in this age is actually the chanting of the holy names. You know, so, particularly, also we follow in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And in our line, they've given specific instances of, or the specific protocol of how to follow the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from their own example. And we follow in their footsteps. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, was clean shaven. And therefore, we follow that system. In fact, on Guru Purnima, which is the most celebrated day in Vrindavan, that's the disappearance day of Sanatan Goswami, there's no more popular day in Vrindavan than Guru Purnima, when Sanatan Goswami disappeared. Everyone comes out. It makes, you know, all the Purushottam Mas and all the other festival days in Vrindavan look puny. Because there was so much affection for Sanatan Goswami in Vrindavan that when he left, everyone lamented so much his disappearance and still celebrate his disappearance that everyone shaves their head on that day. Even women shave their heads. So partly we're following the footsteps of the Goswamis, and also that these particular austerities are not particularly necessary for, in the Kali Yuga, the chanting of the holy name is the recommended process.
One more question. It says here, this Pancharatra and the Srimad Bhagavatam both indicate Krishna. And what makes the Brahma Samhita a Pancharatra? And can you explain the difference between a Purana and a Pancharatra?
Well, Pancharatra is sort of the abbreviated... The Vedas have all these different aspects and sections. Some of them are for householders. Some of them are for the Brahmins, particularly. And the Pancharatra is a specific kind of essential rendering of the Vedic knowledge. Literally, Pancharatra means five nights, and there's a instance mentioned in the Vedas and the Puranas about how Lord Brahma, when he was sleeping, Madhu and Kaitabha, the demons, came in his dreams and they stole away the Vedas, because Krishna had received the Vedas from Vishnu, who spoke them, and to Brahma. Yeah, Vishnu spoke to Brahma, I'm sorry. And Brahma had that Vedic knowledge, and then Madhu and Kaitabha came on a subtle plane when he was sleeping and stole them away. And so he lost them. And in order to get them back, he went to the Lord and asked him to re-speak them. And in the form of Hayagriva, he spoke in five nights, Pancharatra, the essence of the Vedas. So Pancharatra is a section of Vedas which is considered to be not abbreviation, but an essential rendering that gives sort of the shortcut understanding, clear understanding of the purpose of the Vedic process and how to follow it and attain direct devotion to Krishna.
They say sometimes there's Bhagavat Marg and there's Pancharatrika Marg, and
well, Pancharatrik Vidhi and Bhagavat Marg, Prabhupada mentions that they go on parallel tracks, because the Bhagavat Marg specifically refers to what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati called faithful hearing or submissive hearing, and that's our line, actually. And there's nothing needed besides that, jnane prayasam urapasya namante eva jivantishan mukaritam bhavadiyavartam jnane stita shutigatam tanuvanmanobir hi prayaso jita jito pyasitaistrilokyam. Lord Chaitanya accepted this verse from Ramananda Roy, spoken by Lord Brahma in his prayers of repent after he had offended Krishna by stealing away his friends and calves. And it says that one should simply give up all other processes, especially speculative knowledge, and surrender to pure devotees and stay in one's position, whatever it is, and hear submissively. And then one can attain the perfection of spiritual life, that one can conquer Krishna, who's unconquerable, just by submissive hearing. Stane stita shruti gatam. And so there's a way in which that's all that's necessary, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing and chanting. As we see, Haridas Thakur, he didn't perform any particular rules and regulations of the Panchatrikki Vidhi or anything like that, but he simply chanted Hare Krishna 24 hours a day, Bhagavat Marg. However, Jiva Goswami points out that both things must be there in the Kali Yuga. Panchatrikki Vidhi includes deity worship, and there are rules and regulations for deity worship which have been summarized by Sanatana Goswami on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for our benefit, and also which have been passed down through the Panchatrik system from Narada Muni, which give us a clear understanding of how to worship the form of the Lord. And all these include many different rules and regulations, not as many as are talked about in some of the Vedic processes, but they're condensed into a form that we can follow. There are 64 types of offerings that one can make to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his archa form. And there are many, many kinds of rules and regulations one must follow in order to observe that. In fact, the worship of the Lord in the temple is meant to be done the way you worship a king in his palace. And then, of course, there's a form of worship that one does in one's home, which is a little more relaxed because of the constraints that householders have in you know, performing their duties of raising children and so on and so forth. But the point is that without the Panchatrik system, especially in the Kali Yuga, one cannot remain in a purified state of consciousness, body or mind, in order to go on with Bhagavat Marg. Because Bhagavat Marg, although sufficient in itself, for instance, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that there are no pre-qualifications for chanting Hare Krishna, including initiation. Initiation meaning diksha, or taking the diksha mantra. Factually speaking, taking diksha is required only for those who are going to take on deity worship. However, although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says this, Jiva Goswami makes a detailed point that in this age of Kali Yuga, we're so contaminated by the external environment and our internal state of consciousness that without the Panchatrikki Vidhi, or the deity worship, to purify us, it's practically impossible to chant Hare Krishna. So the two go on parallel lines. So we have to have the rules and regulation of Panchatrikki Vidhi. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada established deity worship all over the world, and he gave it to people who had no idea what deities were, practically. I remember the first time I did an artik. Vanamali, was it one of your? Have you done a lot of artiks, or these are your first ones you're doing? She wrote to me and was, you know, asking questions about more mantras and things like that. First, one of the first artiks I did was at the opening of the temple in 1975 in Vrindavan, and Srila Prabhupada was there, of course, for that opening, and I was with a group, and our leader was a sannyasi, and He had just taken sannyas, and he wanted to do the artik, and it was three people do the artik at the same time, and he also wanted two of his men on his party, namely me and another devotee, Suradas, to do the artik with him. So we went in early to the deity room and claimed our spot. And I was a little nervous because I didn't know much about deity worship at all. I'd been in Chicago and San Francisco and mostly just done book distribution and hadn't learned a lot. And there wasn't much known in ISKCON, really. There was no book by then about how to do artik, anything. That Archana Padati didn't come out till a little bit later, I think 1976 or something. by Jaitirtha. And so every temple had its own standard, basically, about how to do artik and things like that. So anyway, different big devotees kept coming in the deity rooms saying, we're going to do artik. And our leader said, no, 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 we were here first. Get out of here, you know. And he was fighting them off. And Suradas and I were going, oh, just let him do it, Maharaj. Because the pujari had come in and said, had been up for 3 nights in a row and said, I'm going to go to take rest, but you better do a good artik because every pundit in Vrindavan is coming and they want to see a good show. What to speak? Prabhupada's going to be there. And this is like the grand opening practically. So I was like, all right, that's it. I'm out of here. You know, you're doing the artik. So anyway, we stayed. And when I got on the altar, there were all this paraphernalia I didn't even recognize, because there were these long ghee wicks with all these fancy things, and it was a simultaneous artik, which we'd never done before, where, you know, we all have to be in sync and everything like that. And I was flubbing everything. And I was at Radha Shamasundar's altar, and Prabhupada had come down, and he was standing there with all the GBC. Everyone was there watching, and I was like a deer in the headlights. I didn't know what to do. Anyway, afterwards, Prabhupada asked, he went in his room, he said, who are these devotees doing artik? Because everyone was blowing it up. And Rameshwar told him that, he said, these are Tripurari's men, Prabhupada. They're not very expert doing deity worship, but they distribute your books. And he said, oh, that is all right. But later on, we made it a point to learn about deity worship and puja and all these types of things. I forgot how I got on that point, but somehow or other, the point was deity worship, Prabhupada established for all of us, Panchatra, because it's purifying, because you have to, there's a way in which you live your whole life when you're doing some kind of deity worship. In fact, every householder must do deity worship. You have to, in order to stay purified. For instance, if you live at home and you don't perform deity worship, then after a while, you'll just do whatever you feel like doing. You know, whatever pattern you happen to get into, you'll just do that. However, if you have deities there, then you have to get up. And you have to wake the deities at a certain time. And you have to do your puja every day. And it's a way that you become grounded and in devotional service. And your senses become purified. As you may think, well, I'll do all kinds of nonsense. And then your intelligence will say, well, if you do that, then you can't worship your deities. And if you don't worship your deities, then it'll be an offense and you'll fall down and so on and so forth. So you don't do your nonsense. So therefore, you know, to remain pure on the path, deity worship is absolutely essential, especially for householders. And so Panchatri system has to be there in order to purify our senses. As I was saying, you know, there are many rules and regulations, and you live your life according to those, and then you remain pure. For instance, when you wake up in the morning, first thing when you open your eyes, there are certain mantras that you should say when you're stepping out of. You don't say, you know, good morning, how are you, these things, but first thing, the mantras come out of your mouth. Jayati jana nivasa, devaki janmavado, etc. There are certain mantras that you say when you wake up, certain way that you come into the deity room by ringing the bell, paying your full obeisances, saying certain prayers, waking the deity, and so on. And all these things will purify the senses and, in fact, the whole family. I've seen in households where deity worship is actually going on and the family is involved, then the hearing and chanting is always there, because part of the reason Sanatana Goswami says that it's so important, especially for householders, is when you're doing deity worship, all the mantras, Om Vai Krishna Sakcharanana Krishnadi Purusha Krishna Purushottamaha Akamadi Mulam Krishna Saha Sarvadi Krishna, you know, they go on and it's all Krishna, 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 Vishnu, Vishnu. You know, you're saying names of Krishna, and so it gets you chanting. And basically the whole idea of Bhagavat Marg is to keep the vibration going. And ultimately, just by keeping oneself in front of the vibration, you become purified. As Prabhupada once said, God helps those who help themselves means, helping oneself means keeping yourself in front of transcendental sound vibration some way or another. Keep the vibration going. So the two are complement each other by purification of the mind and senses, and then one can properly hear and chant and go on with the chanting Hare Krishna and make advancement in that sector.
Is there anything, well, I don't want to take too long, but but it's an interesting subject. Is there anything about the... First of all, I mean, in the Brahma Samhita, well, we only have the fifth chapter of 100 chapters, but, I mean, there aren't any specific rituals. Well, there's the Gayatri Mantra. There are, you know, in the beginning, there's kind of this description of this six-sided, you know, this kind of this yantra or mandala being described and things like that. What makes it a Pancharatrika? Because it sounds like you're talking about Pancharatra involves rituals as opposed to Bhagavad.
I don't know. That's when we read that in the introduction, it was a little bit news to me. There's a whole section of the Vedas, the Sanghitas, which are specifically like prayers and songs and things. And so it's called the Brahma Sanghita, and I'm not exactly sure why Srila Bhaktisiddhanta called it a Pancharatrika, you know, literature. But we could ask Pradyumna, and he could give you the, you know, I'll give you his email address, and you can ask him. He could probably give you a really detailed answer on that.
Okay, thanks.
Much better than me. Okay, so let's today's Ekadashi. Let's sing some bhajans.